But the Beezling was an inert hulk at the center of a dissipating halo, her hull fissured, reaction drive off, spinning like a broken bird. The three attacking Black Hawk captains observed the last volley of Beezling's combat wasps lock on to their own ships and race vengefully across the gulf. Thousands of kilometers away, their colleagues scored a debilitating strike on the Chengo, and the Beezling's combat wasps had halved the separation distance. Energy patterning cells applied a terrible stress against the fabric of space, and the Black Hawks slipped into the gaping wormholes which opened, contracting the interstices behind them. The Beezling's combat wasps lost track of their targets. Onboard processors began to scan round and round in an increasingly futile attempt to reacquire the missing signatures as the drones rushed further and further away from the disabled warship. The return of consciousness wasn't quite as welcome as it should have been, even though it meant that Dr. Al-Kanzu was still alive. Her left leg was a source of nauseous pain. She could remember hearing the bone snapping at her knee hinged fully open. Then came the twists of a shifting gravity field, far more effective than any torturer. Her neural mnemonics had damped down the worst of the pain, but the Beezling's final convulsion had brought a blessed oblivion. How in Mother Mary's name did we survive that? She thought she had been prepared for the inherent risk of the mission failing, for death to claim her. Her work at the university back on Garissa made her all too aware of the energy levels required to push a starship through a ZTT jump, and what would happen should an instability occur in the patterning nodes. It never seemed to bother the Navy crew, or rather they were better at hiding it. She knew also that there was a small chance they would be intercepted by Omitan naval craft once the Beezling emerged above their target star. But even that wouldn't be so bad. The end, should a combat wasp break through Beezling's defensive shield, would probably be instantaneous. She even acknowledged that the alchemist might malfunction. But this, hunted down out here, unprepared physically or mentally, and then to survive, however tenuously. How could the good Mother Mary be so callous, unless perhaps even she feared the alchemist? Residual graphics seemed to swirl obstinately among the ailing thoughts of her consciousness. Vector lines intersected their original jump coordinate 37,000 kilometers ahead. Omitta was a small, unremarkable star directly in front of the coordinate. Two more jumps, and they would have been in the system's Oort cloud, the sparse halo of ice dust clouds and slumbering comets which marked the boundary of interstellar space. They were approaching from galactic north, well outside the plane of the ecliptic, trying to avoid detection. She had helped plan the mission profile, offering her comments to a room full of senior Navy staff who were visibly nervous in her presence. It was a syndrome which had affected more and more people in the secret military station as her work progressed. Al-Kad had given the Confederation something new to fear, something which surpassed even the destructive power of antimatter. A star slayer. And that prospect was as humbling as it was terrifying. She had resigned herself that after the war, billions of planet dwellers would look up at the naked stars, waiting for the twinkling light which had been Omitta to vanish from the night sky. Then they would remember her name and curse her to hell. All because I was too stupid to learn from past mistakes, just like all the other dreaming fools throughout history, wrapped up with seductive, clean equations, their simplistic, isolated elegance giving no thought to the messy, bloody, physical application that was their ultimate reality, as if we didn't have enough weapons already. But that's human nature. We've always got to go one better, to increase the terror another notch. And for what? 387 Dorados. Large asteroids with a nearly pure metal content. They were orbiting a red dwarf sun 20 light-years away from Garissa, 29 light-years from Omitta. Scout ships from both inhabited systems had stumbled across them virtually simultaneously. Who had actually been first would never now be known. Both governments had claimed them. The wealth contained in the lonely metal chunks would be a heady boost for the planet whose companies could mine and refine such plentiful ore. At first it had been a squabble, a collection of incidents. Prospecting and survey ships dispatched to the Dorados had been attacked by pirates. And, as always, the conflict had escalated.